الحمد لله. يا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا شيخنا بيض
الله
الله
يسلمك.
وجهكم.
أمين.
الحمد لله.
You had technical issues this morning.
نعم يا شيخنا.
طيب, can we go on with the class now?
نعم.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I already started talking about the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And the chapter we are in, Babu Adab al-Khadim, the chapter about disciplining your servant. Your servant here may be the slave that you own, and it may be any such person under your direct control, such as a maid, such as a gardener, such as a driver, a cook, and the rest of that. Most of these people fall under the category of people that we are able to directly control. And in some cases, like some of the maids and some of the cook, the individual may be in the position to even cane them by way of discipline when the error was much and deserved that kind of an attention. This chapter is regarding such issues. What has the Sharia taught us about handling the way to discipline, this time perhaps cane our slaves or those amongst our servants and our subordinates who fall under the category of people we may have such control to be able to cane for the purposes of discipline? What has the Sharia said about things like this and conditions like this? So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has placed these ahadith under the chapter heading Babu Adab al-Khadim, Babu Adab al-Khadim, or Babun Adab al-Khadim, or Babu Adab al-Khadim, the chapter about disciplining your servant. He has this on the hadith number 170, wherein he said, حدثنا أحمد بن عيسى قال حدثنا عبد الله بن وهب قال أخبرني مخمرة بن بكير عن أبيه قال سمعت يزيد بن عبد الله بن خصيب قال أرسل عبد الله بن عمر غلاما له بذهب أو ورق فصرفه فأنظر بالصرف فرجع إليه فجلده جلدا وجعا وقال اذهب فخذ الذي لي ولا تصرفه. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his sheikh whose name was Ahmad ibn Isa. And Ahmad ibn Isa said, قال حدثنا عبد الله بن وهب. He reported this hadith from the Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab. Abdullah ibn Wahab was Abu Muhammad al-Fihri al-Misri, one of the students of Al-Imam Malik, one of the eminent, the most learned, one of the most learned amongst the students of Al-Imam Malik was Abdullah ibn Wahab. And Abdullah ibn Wahab was a scholar from Misr, where he came to Medina and he learned and took hadith and other sciences from Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he used to be referred to as Shaykh al-Islam because he was so knowledgeable rahimahullah, Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab, and he was known for a lot of righteousness rahimahullah. He also had his own copy of Muwatta. So you would find Muwatta, the riwayat of Abdullah ibn Wahab, Muwatta with the report of Abdullah ibn Wahab. The most common copy of Muwatta is the report of Yahya ibn Yahya at-Tamimi. The most common copy of Muwatta is the copy of Yahya ibn Yahya at-Tamimi. But we also have the copy of Abdullah ibn Wahab and others amongst the students of Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, who reported the book Al-Muwatta. He said, أخبرني مخرمة ابن بكير. أخبرني مخرمة ابن بكير. Makhramah ibn Bukair was the teacher of Abdullah ibn Wahab on this hadith. And he was reporting from his father, Bukair ibn Abdullah al-Ashaj. Bukair ibn Abdullah al-Ashaj was the one who had the hadith from Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Qusayt. He had it from Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Qusayt. قال أرسل عبد الله بن عمر غلاما له يزيد بن عبد الله بن قصيد said أرسل عبد الله بن عمر غلاما له بذهب أو ورق. عبد الله بن عمر, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and the son of the eminent companion أمير المؤمنين Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a slave. So this slave, he sent him on an errand. Bizahabin aw warikin. He sent him with the zahab, gold, some gold coins. Or it was reported that he sent him with some silver coins. Bizahabin, with some gold, aw biwarikin, or with silver. Abdullah ibn Umar sent one of his servants on an errand, and he gave him a piece of gold or silver. فصرفه, the boy or the servant and slave went to give that gold or that silver in exchange. And we know the basic rule in the Sharia is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he had prohibited exchanging gold for gold, except that it is like for a like. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tabi'u al-zahaba bil-zahabi, la tabi'u al-zahaba bil-zahabi, do not exchange gold for gold, wa la tabi'u al-wariqa bil-warqi, likewise do not exchange silver for silver, illa mithlan bi mithlin, except a kind for its kind. If you want to exchange gold for gold, it must be the same weight, the same type, the same kind for each other kind. That's the reason why if you want to exchange naira for naira, you can only have the appropriate equivalent of naira. For example, if you want to exchange a 100 naira or a 1000 naira note, you need 100 naira notes. Those 100 naira notes, you cannot exchange 900 naira for 1,000 because it is not misl. The misl is not a kind for a kind, and it is within the same money kind. So you can exchange naira for naira. You can't exchange naira for naira except equal amount of naira for equal amount of naira. You cannot exchange 40 naira for 50 naira. You cannot exchange 90 naira for 100 naira. It has to be equal amount of naira if it is between naira and naira. If it is between dollars and dollars, you have a $100 deal. You need smaller notes, maybe 50 or 20 dollar bills or $1 bill. You cannot exchange 99 single $1 bill for 100 single dollar bill. You can only exchange a $100 bill for another $100 bill. You can only exchange 1,000 naira for another 1,000 naira. But you can exchange $100 bill for the appropriate amount of naira. You can exchange a $100 bill for naira, just as you can exchange gold for silver. You can exchange silver for silver, depending on the amount. But if you want to exchange gold for gold, it must be equal amount of gold and equal amount of that same other gold. Do we understand? If it is within the same range, gold for gold, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, la tabi'u al-zahaba bil-zahabi, wa la tabi'u al-wariqa bil-wariqi illa mithlan bi-mithli. You cannot exchange gold for gold. You cannot also exchange, you should not also exchange silver for silver, illa mislan bi mislin, except the same amount of silver for the same amount of silver, or the same amount of gold for the same amount of gold. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَشِفُّوا بَعْضَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Don't increase one part of it over the other. Don't exchange 5 grams of gold for 4 grams of gold. Don't exchange 5 grams of silver for 4 grams of silver. Or you can exchange 1 gram of gold for 20 grams of silver. I hope that it is clear. You can exchange 50 grams of silver for 5 grams of gold. But you cannot exchange an increase or reduction, gold for gold. That's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تُشِفُّوا بَعْضَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. لَا تُشِفُّوا. Don't increase one part of gold for another part of gold. Don't increase one part of silver for another part of silver. That is to say, don't give 10 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold. Don't. لَا تُشِفُّوا بَعْضَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Don't increase, don't take, exchange 10 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold. No, don't. If it is gold to gold, it must be equal in their quantity, in their weight, in their size, and in everything. And if it is more, if it must be in silver, it must be the same thing. But if it is between gold and silver, you can exchange gold for silver. You can exchange silver for gold depending on the transaction for that day. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَلَا تَبِيعُوا شَيْئًا غَائِبًا مِّنْهُ بِنَاجِزٍ. لَا تَبِيعُوا شَيْئًا غَائِبًا مِّنْهُ بِنَاجِزٍ. Do not also exchange anything from these. Gold, you want to exchange gold for gold. Actually, there are about 6 things the Prophet mentioned, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He mentioned barley, he mentioned al-bur, he mentioned wheat, alayhi salatu wasalam. He also mentioned salt, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the things that you cannot exchange, except that the same kind for the same kind, the same weight for the same weight. He also mentioned dates, dried dates, so equal quantity for equal quantity. So gold for gold, equal quantity for equal quantity. Silver for silver, equal quantity for equal quantity. Well, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَبِيعُوا شَيْئًا غَائِبًا مِّنْهُ بِنَاجِزٍ. Don't also exchange in the one that is also lawful. You can exchange, for example, as we explained, silver for gold. But even at that, لَا تَبِيعُوا شَيْئًا غَائِبًا, if the silver is absent or the gold is absent, it's not available, don't exchange it for something that is present. It is lawful to exchange gold for gold, but it must be on the spot. It is lawful to exchange gold for silver. It must also be on the spot. But if it is gold for silver, it is just upon the condition that it must be on the spot, hand to hand, yadan bi yadin, as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. No absence. No, oh, they are bringing my own. If it is 5 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold, the second condition is that it must be on the spot. You get your share, the other person gets his gold. You get your gold, 5 grams, he also collects his 5 grams of gold. How can that be? Maybe this one has been turned, has been adjusted and made into chain or earring. This one has not been made into chain or earring, but upon assessment, they are the same kind of gold. So you can only exchange 5 grams of this for 5 grams of that. The second condition, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that la tabi'u shay'an ghaiban minhu binajisin. Don't exchange something that is not available, binajis, with something that is on the ground. Meaning that if you want to exchange 5 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold, it must be on the spot. We also explained that we can also exchange gold for silver. And it can be according to the price, according to negotiation for that day. You can exchange gold for silver. You can exchange silver for gold. And you can have a smaller amount of gold for a larger amount of silver, as the case may be. But these two have a condition. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that? La tabi'u shay'an ghaiban minhu binajizin illa yadan biyadin. Don't exchange something that is ghaib, absent. Your own is not available. Your gold is not available. You want to collect the silver and say, oh, when they come back, they will give you the appropriate equivalent of gold. No, you cannot do that. Yes, exchanging gold for silver is lawful, but it is only lawful if it is done right on the spot. Yadam, the yadim. I hope that it is clear. So the slave boy of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he went fasarafahu. He went and then gave in exchange his gold or the silver. He went to exchange it. Fa'anzara bis-sarfi. For he delayed collecting the exchange. He gave out the gold. He gave out what Abdullah ibn Umar gave to him. But he did not collect the surf, the exchange, on the spot. And that is unlawful, as we have explained. Because it has to be yadan bi yadin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited us from exchanging something that is unavailable for something that is available. He said, لا تبيعوا عليه الصلاة والسلام شيئا غائبا منه بناجز إلا يدا بيد. لا تبيعوا شيئا غائبا بناجز. Don't exchange something that is unavailable for something that is right on the ground. إلا يدا بيد. Unless it is hand to hand. Similarly, don't exchange dollars for naira unless it is yadan biyadin, right on the spot. Right on the spot. You collect your gold, you collect your dollars, you hand over the naira. But to say, okay, keep the dollars, come back tomorrow, I would have had the equivalent of naira to give. This is unlawful. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
please continue, Ashika.
Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was not pleased with the exchange because it was an unlawful exchange. Exchanging gold or exchanging silver to come back later is unlawful in the Sharia. Such lawful exchanges must be yadan bi yadin. Your gold is being exchanged for silver, or silver is being exchanged for gold. It must be right on the spot. You want to exchange naira for dollars, or dollars for naira, or British pounds for dollars, or dollars for British pounds, it must be right on the spot, yadan bi yadin. But if you want to also exchange dollar for dollars, in addition to the fact that it must be yadan bi yadin, it must also be a kind for its kind. You can only exchange $100 for $100. You can only exchange 100 pounds for 100 pounds. You can only exchange 100 naira for 100 naira. You cannot exchange 100 naira for 90 naira. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, wala tushifu ba'dahu ala ba'd. Don't increase one part over the other if it is the same currency. But if they are different, it is lawful to give that exchange yadan bi yadin, hand to hand. And it is not lawful to do an exchange of something that is not available for something that is available. So Ibn Umar flogged this slave for participating in that transaction that was unlawful. When he returned to him, jaladahu jaldan waji'a. He flogged him, jaldan waji'a, in a painful way. Waqal, and then he said to him, idhab fakhudhi alladhi li, go back, take what is mine, wala tasrifhu, and do not exchange it. Do not exchange my gold in this manner. The point of reference in this hadith was Abdullah ibn Umar's having to cane his slave in a manner that he felt the pain. It means that it is lawful for us to cane if you have a cook, a young cook who perhaps dropped a lot of quantity of salt perhaps in the soup. And perhaps that young girl or young boy would have been taught severally, would have been admonished severally about the practice, but she still goes on to do it. She may be flogged. This is the point of reference. You have a girl who stays in a store. This young girl does a kind of a transaction that is unlawful. And then she's been explained to, she's been taught, she's been educated, but she's not, she just goes on to disobey that instruction. She may be flogged. So it is lawful to cane these kinds of persons, just like we read in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. But like we said, it must be within the limits of discipline in the Sharia. The fifth must be avoided, as we shall read in the next hadith, bi'idhnillah, tomorrow, the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. Very interesting hadith, which showed a lot of respect the companions have for the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But the hadith of Ibn Umar today is just showing that, yes, we have said we should be nice to our servants. We should be kind to our maids, our house helps, and all of these. And we should avoid beating them as much as possible. More so when they show good character and they show that they are from the people of Salat. When they don't quickly resort to beating them. But sometimes the situation may deserve some sort of that by way of showing some level of discipline and being sure that the servant or the slave or the subordinate, as we had explained earlier, is a disciplined individual. Such persons may be flogged in such pressing circumstances. That is what the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that we have read today has shown. Essentially, it is lawful for us to beat our slaves when they commit very grave errors, especially errors against instructions, errors against the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the fact that from the best of those who treated their slaves was Abdullah ibn Umar. With the slightest excuse, Abdullah ibn Umar would free his slaves. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, with the slightest reason, he used to free his slaves. Al-Imam al-Nawawi in Tahdhib al-Asma'i wal-Lughat, he has a narration regarding how nicely Abdullah ibn Umar would treat his slave. He says that Nafi, Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar, we know Nafi, the teacher of Al-Imam Malik, he was a freed slave himself of Abdullah ibn Umar. He was so loving to Abdullah ibn Umar to the extent that even when he told him to go, even when he was freed after the death of Ibn Umar, he did not like to be free. He wanted to remain under the care of Abdullah ibn Umar. When Ibn Umar passed away, he still wanted to remain to have a tag of Ibn Umar on him. So he did not like to be sold out to someone else. Rahimahullah. Nafi said, Kana Abdullah ibn Umar is ashtadda ajabuhu bi shay'in min malihi taqarraba bihi ilallah. Taqarraba bihi ilallah. It is said that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, if he had anything from his property, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ عَجَبُهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ مَالِهِ, when his love, when his interest in anything that he has, when he becomes very, very strong, if he has money, if he has a slave, if he has a shoe, if he has a car, if he has anything, and that thing became very beloved to him, تَقَرَّبَ بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, he gave it out in sadaqah by way of seeking nearness to Allah. You know, Allah told us, لَا تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. From the means of seeking righteousness is to spend from what you love. Many times when we give what we don't want again. But Ibn Umar, it was from the best of what he has that he would give. Radiallahu anhu. If something became interesting to him and loving to him from the things that he has, radiallahu anhuma, he quickly gave it out by way of seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is reported that كان عبيده قد عرفوا منه ذلك. His slaves recognized that with him. That if he had something and that thing interested him, he quickly gave it out for the sake of Allah. فربما, after they understood that, perhaps لزم أحدهم المسجد. Some of the slaves began to become so worshipful. The slave will be worshipful, will be very nice, stay in the mosque, observe the salah, and do very well, so that the more he does all of that, the more beloved he became to Umar.
رضي الله عنهما. فإذا رآه ابن عمر على تلك الحال الحسنقه. So whenever Ibn Umar found any of his slaves being better in his deen, observing his salah regularly, being careful, being, you know, chaste and honorable, and he liked him more and he freed him, because from whatever he likes, he used to give those things out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the slaves recognized and they began to act upon that. They will observe Salah very well, dress well, be neat, all of these. When Ibn Umar saw them and liked them, he used to free them for the sake of Allah. He gave out what? Okay, that was the basic rule. If his love for something became very, very intense, he that thing out for the sake of Allah. So when they recognized that, they started being nice. His slaves started very religious and righteous. وَيَكُولُ لَهُ أَصْحَابُ. So his friends will be saying, إِنَّهُمْ يَخْدَعُونَكَ. These slaves are only deceiving you. For your cool. And Abdullah ibn Umar was, مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ خَدَعَنَا لَهُ. مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ خَدَعَنَا لَهُ. Whoever seeks to make us believe something, that thing is not actually what it is. And that is from for the sake of Allah. We accept. If he is trying to be nice, he's trying to seek nearness to Allah, and that is what with which he was. We agree to be deceived. Let him be nice. Perhaps from his being regular with salah, and he does not stop observing salah. From his being nice, being neat, being cautious, you know, minding how he relates with the people, he gradually becomes used to that. So he says, "Radiyallahu anhu." So that if that is what you refer to as deceit, we agree to be deceived for the sake of Allah. So that was as nice as Abdullah ibn Umar would treat his slaves. Even as that the hadith that we read today has shown, that did not prevent him that when any of them did something that was they should not be came. This also shows how happy the companions will be when someone shows righteousness. How unhappy they will be when someone shows unrighteousness. When someone violates the limit of Allah, they have no laughing, no excuses. They handle the matter as it should be. And when someone shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they invested their love and their attention for such persons. This is different from many of the Muslims today. People who show disobedience to Allah, people we love. Many of the people. You see them loving people who disobey the limits of Allah. But this companion, radiallahu anhu, loved when people showed righteousness. To the extent that he found it as a means of freedom, like to say, when you are righteous, I will free you. So that one encouraged the slaves to be righteous. As good as he was, and as nice as he was, radiallahu anhu, to his slave, as he freed his slaves, radiyallahu anhumah, when any of them showed signs of disobedience to Allah wa ta'ala, he met it with appropriate punishment. As in the case that we saw, when he went to exchange his gold or his silver, and instead of bringing back the exchange, he left it, and that an unlawful transaction. He told him, go back and bring my money, go back and bring my coin, or gold coin. He went and returned his gold or his silver, and then he flew. The point of reference in the hadith today, that as nice as we can be to our servants, to our slaves, to our drivers, to our cooks, to our nannies, and all of these people who are under us, in that in the circumstance requiring some tough handling, some handling requiring some discipline, that we should not employ it. And subordinates too should not, a whole fadila to sheikh is angry with me. If you do some discipline, some hard words to be directed to you, there's no blame when such person, such very harsh handling to us by way of direct because many times people don't like to be disciplined. Subordinates don't like to be disciplined. And this is not, they think that the master who never disciplines them is the best of the masters. If he has to, and he's not disciplining you, he's not saying it by words of the mouth, even though he may not be able to flog you. He's not making you understand the gravity of your error. Then that may not be in the best of way. That may not be the way we should employ discipline in the situation that the discipline deserves to be employed. And we are overlooking and forgiveness situation deserves that is employed. But to think that, I'm a knight and I never censure or caution my subordinates, that is not from the best can find. We can see from the two reports from Ibn Umar. He was a very nice person, radiallahu anhu, to his slaves. Yet, whenever the slave did something that was not appropriate, it made them understand that what they had done. So it is lawful in the Sharia that sometimes we may have to employ the kings by way of disciplining subordinates who are in that kind of a category. Allahu alam. I hope that this hadith is clear to the question and answer. Inshallah, we'll continue from this chapter heading in our class tomorrow evening. Abba Yusuf, can we have a few questions before we call it a day today?
Jazakumullah khairan ya Sheikh Ana.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah
khairan. You actually addressed this in the class, but people are still asking, so I think you should mention it again. So jazakumullah khairan. Can we exchange 100 naira for 80 naira in new naira notes? The type of transaction done at the
first parties. It is not lawful. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تُشِفُّوا بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Don't increase one part of a particular item over the other part. You have two parts in exchange. Your own and the other party's own. These two, la tushifu ba'dahu ala ba'd. Don't increase one part over the other. You can exchange naira for naira, but it is 100 naira for 100 naira, not 100 naira for 80 naira. In other reports of this hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man zada awizdada. This is the loves of al-Imam al-Nasai. I had mentioned this loves, man zada awizdada. And your brother queried it. Go back. This love occurs in Sunan al-Nasai. Man zada awizdada. Whoever adds, if you add 20 naira to 100 naira, if you are exchanging 100 naira for 120 naira, zitta, you have added. Awizdada. Or you are asking that the increase should be made. Whether you made it deliberately, the person handling 120 naira for 100 naira, is the one who deliberately adds the 20 naira to it. How is that? Or the person who wants to collect the 120 naira for 100 naira is the one who requested that the addition should be made. Faqad arba. The Prophet said, whoever does that has committed riba, has engaged in riba. Man zada. How is that? Faqad arba. Whoever asks for increment or deliberately increases it. So it blocks every route to increase. And some of the people can say, oh, I am the one who gave him. If you give deliberately, it is riba. If the person exchanging gives you in exchange as a condition, it is also riba. Man zada, awizdada. Whoever gives an addition or asks that an addition be given, faqad arba, that person has engaged in a riba. Don't exchange 80 naira for 100 naira new notes or dirty notes. 100 naira new notes, 100 naira dirty notes are of the same status. They have the same value. 100 naira new notes, 100 naira old notes, they have the same value. If something is sold for 100 naira, each of the two notes will buy the same thing. Don't exchange 100 naira for 80 naira. It is unlawful. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tushifu ba'dahu ala ba'd. Do not increase one part of a particular item for another part of that same item. Don't do it. However, if it is between gold and silver, you can have 20 grams of gold exchange for 500 grams of silver. That means you can have 1,000 naira or 500 naira exchange for $1. Do you understand? You can have 5,000 naira exchange for $200, for example. Do you understand? Yes, because they are of different basis and foundation. So just as we can exchange gold for silver, that is the same way we can exchange silver for gold. And that's the same way we can exchange different currencies for themselves. I hope that this aspect of the discourse is clear, Abba Yusuf, and we can go to something else.
Now, the next question says, does this apply to POS business where people pay extra amounts like a service charge?
Well, POS business, we had discussed it over and over. We had explained it over and over. What I have understood in the procedure of the business, because if you want to employ the rulings of the Sharia upon a matter, it has to be that the procedure itself is well understood. What is, has been explained from the procedure is, the man has 5,000 naira with him. You want to withdraw 5,000 naira from your account. Instead of moving to the bank, you are not, he's not borrowing you the money. Your loan does not come in at all. Instead of you go to the bank, you employ the card. The 5,000 naira is transferred to him, and then he gives you the 5,000 naira cash. The 5,000 naira is transferred to him, and then he gives you the 5,000 naira cash. So this is not, there is no issue in it. And it will be right on the spot, because right on the spot means that he will not leave. They will be there until the exchange is completed. This is the explanation of Allah regarding yad and biyad. It will be right there on the spot. That's why if you say, well, and you expect that you get gold, the person says, I have gold, but I don't have it here. Someone, please go to my house, go and bring so gold. Yourself and the person in transportation, the two of you are there. They go and bring that gold, and you receive that gold, and you hand over the silver on the spot. But it is still established as a business on the spot. So if on the spot, he transfers 5,000 naira to your account, and you give the 5,000, this is the transfer you have given me. It is not, there is no issue of a loan connected to it. It's one major point. There is no loaning connected to this transaction. Allahu Akbar. Based on what has been explained by rated. There is no loan connected to it. Now he gives you the 5,000. You say, hey, but remove some money for this transaction, for the use of the POS. And for the fact that instead of you going to the bank, I have removed that hardship for you. Pay me this kind of a payment. Allahu Alam, until as I speak now, I consider it lawful, but not connected to it. That issue is that every POS outing, every outfit, if you have a kiosk for that business, you are like the bank, you're the area of the bank. So another issue will come up to it. Is it lawful to act as a subsidiary to a bank? Is it lawful for you to act as a subsidiary to a bank? If it is First Bank, it's like you are a subsidiary for First Bank. Is it lawful for you? What I agree is that even though that transaction he does may not directly be riba-based, it's an aiding a riba-based institution. So even though that transaction itself is lawful, having the system itself is something that is not lawful. So that's why, even though I looked at it, a brother came and pointed it out. He was telling me, Abu Nasir, these POS outlets of the bank, in fact, the banks in remote areas prefer that those people come to POS machines. Because as long as we have access to the internet, the POS will operate. Like outlets to the bank, is it lawful for us to have a Muslim working as an outlet of a riba bank? We say it is unlawful for a Muslim to obtain that. So if we have it's not a riba-based bank, that kind of a transaction will be lawful. I hope that it is clear. The transaction will be lawful if it is using the device of a bank that is not a riba-based bank. If it is with the device of a riba-based bank, then the fact that it is natural, it is essentially an outlet of a riba-based bank, will make us understand that it is unlawful to operate a business that would be a means of helping and supporting a riba-based bank. Allahu alam. I think for now, this is what I can say regarding these issues. Many of our brothers have been talking about it and viewing the matters from various angles. But for now, this is what I have regarding that transaction, and I hope that it is clear, inshallah, Abba Yusuf.
For those living in Western countries, there is the tendency to want to send money back home in Nigeria, and usually this is done via online transactions, where these platforms collect pounds or dollars and transfer the Naira equivalent. There is no hand-to-hand exchange. Will this be termed lawful if the transaction happens at the spot?
If it is on the spot, that's the meaning of the hand-to-hand. If it's an on-the-spot transaction, you want to give me $100, or I want to send $100 to you, but this $100 will be converted to Naira right on the spot, to be converted to Naira by the bank and sent to the party. Don't forget that it is not that yourself and the party on the receiving end are on a transaction. No. The transaction is between yourself and the bank. The other person is just receiving. It is between yourself and the bank. You have the dollars. The bank has Naira. So the bank receives your dollars and converts it. Instead of giving it to you, you give them an instruction where the account where it will be lodged. And most of the times when monies come into our accounts, they take the rulings of reception. When monies come into the accounts, they have the rulings of that the person who has that account has received the money. So because immediately he will be alerted, this money has come. So if it is done on the spot, then that's a lawful transaction. That's why we have people who, when they want to make these kinds of transaction, they will wait to say, hey, do it now, so that we are sure that the transaction is completed right on the spot. If it is on the spot and the money is exchanged from dollars to Naira, it is on the spot, the bank receives its dollars and returns the Naira equivalent to the account as will be instructed by the person giving them the dollar. Bismillah. This is lawful. It falls under the general meanings of these ahadith that the different items can be exchanged for one another. Gold can be exchanged for silver. So that explains dollars being exchanged for Naira. And the fact that the receivers can receive it on the spot makes us understand that nothing absent is received in the transaction. It is right on the spot. If it is done on the spot and received on the spot, then it is lawful, inshallah.
Can we work with auditing firm? Not fully aware that some of their customers are banks and other riba-based institutions.
Well, the scholars have explained a lot about doing jobs with companies, jobs that help that company. And we know that the company trades in unlawful trade. But those jobs, the jobs of the auditor helps that company. Imagine that you are auditing the company of a brewery. You are helping them to block, you're helping them to check their accounts firstly, to be sure that their accounts are as they should be. And then you are trying to be sure that they can operate as they should operate and their finances should be as they should be. So these kinds of jobs are means of helping that company. That's why when companies are not doing well and their finances are not handled properly,
they are like, they need an auditor. They start working on an auditor, either internal or external. So auditing these kinds of people, these kinds of river-based institutions, they are also means of helping those institutions to survive. And Allah has declared war against these institutions. How do you become the one who want to help an institution that Allah has declared war against? You are the one who want to help them survive. And not only survive, you want to help them flourish. So the large majority of ulama, according to Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, when he was asked this question about helping river-based banks, working with river-based banks, the large majority of ulama have prohibited it. Allahu alam. Can we have this as the last question already?
No, Sheikh.
Yeah.
If one engages in forest trade, however, they pay little attention to exchanging on the spot, they receive payment and send the money at a later time. Is this a very serious thing enough to abandon the business if it is the only way?
Yes, it is unlawful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited it clearly. وَلَا تَبِعُوا شَيْئًا غَائِبًا مِنْهُ بِنَاجِزٍ. Don't trade something that is غائب, absent, unavailable, for something that is available. Don't do that. It is from the aspects of riba. It is from the aspects of riba. Don't do it. Allahu alam. Abba Yusuf, I think we can stop here, inshallah. I'd wish that we had had questions about disciplining a slave, which is a major issue today. Disciplining the slave. Someone also asked about women sharing jobs at home. Women sharing jobs at home. Someone also asked about, Abba Yusuf, please note these questions. The evening lab will come back to them. Someone, please, how do we relate the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated Anas ibn Malik by never reprimanding him for once, with the way Abdullah ibn Umar used to beat his slaves sometimes? I think we can answer this and stop here, inshallah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not telling Anas regarding what he did. Why did you do it like this? Or what he did not do? Why did you not do it? It means that Anas did not do something that was unlawful. He did not do something that was not in line with the Sharia, such as a child's leaving Salah, such as a child's backbiting, such as a child's doing something that was unlawful. If Anas did anything that was unlawful, requiring that his attention was called to it and perhaps he was disciplined, the Prophet would do that. I think we explained it when we gave that hadith, when we explained that hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never berated Anas, it was because Anas was a brilliant young boy. Don't forget what his mother and Abu Talha told the Prophet about Anas. Anas was a brilliant young boy. He was sent on an errand by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his mother saw him and asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm on an errand for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "What did he send you?" And I said, "I was not going to divulge the Prophet's secrets to you." Radiallahu anhu. There was a little young boy. His mother was asking him, what was the message? The question was natural for every mother. And from the intelligence of Anas was that I was not going to divulge the messenger's secret. Is it the young boy who will not observe Salah? Is it the young boy who will not dress properly? Is it the young boy who will not pay attention to what he should pay attention to as a little young boy? So the things, but apart from these kinds of issues of acting upon prohibitions, someone could have other things that maybe because of judgment, he could have done it like this, he could have done it better. These were the issues that the Prophet overlooked. As for Anas ibn Malik, he beat that slave over a major violation in the Sharia, which has to do with the issue of riba. And we know what the Sharia has said regarding riba. So it's a very serious issue and a serious attention has to be directed towards it. I hope that we understand now that there are no conflicts between the action of Abdullah ibn Umar from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the most beloved of the people that the Prophet loved so much was Ibn Umar, and from those who loved the Prophet so much was Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar loved the Prophet so much, alayhi salatu wa salam, he will do everything the Prophet did.
radiyallahu anhuma. So what he did beating his slave does not contradict the Prophet's never berating Anas ibn Malik, because they were not upon the same grounds. I hope that the point is clear. We can stop here, inshallah, Abba Yusuf. Ameen wa antum jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.